Welcome inside Appalachia. I'm Jessica Lilly. Today we're launching a new series called The Struggle to Stay. You know, Appalachia isn't alone in watching its young people fight with the decision to stay or go from their home place. It's a conversation happening all over the country. But people are leaving parts of Appalachia at a rapid pace. It's also true that some cities in Appalachia are gaining population, but rural areas, especially coal-dependent communities in southern West Virginia and eastern Kentucky, are seeing young people leave in droves. Over the next few months, we'll meet six people who are trying to decide whether to stay or leave Appalachia. Our reporters have spent the past 6 to 12 months following these people, documenting their lives and finding out what's driving them to want to stay, or in at least one case, what drove them to leave. In high school, Colt planned on joining the Army, or maybe working for a construction company, anything except working in the coal mines. A lot of families in his community have worked as miners. Colt saw many miners lose their jobs when he was in high school, including his stepfather. Despite the economic challenges, he wants to stay in West Virginia to be close to his family, especially his 7-year-old brother, River. It's been a struggle for Colt to find a way to stay in West Virginia. Then, a few months before he graduated high school, an opportunity came his way, a chance to work in his home of Lincoln County. And that's what he wants. But at the same time, he told our producer, Roxy Todd, that home isn't perfect.
I guess I'll start with my family. My immediate family, my mom and my mom, has always lived down this road since I was about, I want to say, 3 or 4.
Colt Brogan drives me along the Coal River in a 1996 Geo Tracker. That rattling you hear? There's something wrong with his car, he mutters, but he doesn't have the time or money to get it fixed.
This is an extremely windy road. People describe it as like a roller coaster.
It's May 2016, one of our first interviews together. Every curve of this road has some significance for Colt. As we travel along the river, I learn all the stories that connect him to Lincoln County, all the things he loves and hates, and all the memories that make him feel he has to stay, even though a part of him wants to leave. As a kid, he walked miles down this road. During summers, he spent more time outside than at home. On the hills to our left, we pass nice brick houses with big, well-landscaped lawns. Those houses, says Colt, are where the rich people live. The other side, the one that floods almost every spring, is where the river people live.
And my people are the people of the Coal River. That's the people that I relate to. Those are the people that is the only one that lived the life that I lived.
He doesn't live here anymore, along the Coal River. Now he rents a small 2-bedroom house in Hamlin, the county seat. But his real home will always be along this river.
This is the Coal River. So the Big Coal and the Little Coal, is actually the name of them, rivers, they merge towards the water plant, actually, towards right about there.
The ripples in the water make a V at this point where the two rivers join. You can actually walk across the water here because it's so shallow.
And that was always my favorite part of the river because it's just like when the two rivers meet, it's a big sand barge and it's like super shallow and super sandy and there's like...
It's a good swimming hole.
No, because it was shallow, but it was fun, I guess. You know, you got to get out and you drag your boat, you know, across the shallows. And, I don't know, I just always liked it, and it was so sandy at the bottom, you know, it wasn't rough, and there wasn't a lot of trash that you could see.
Where Colt is pointing, there's a garbage bag and some empty plastic bottles on the bank of the water.
But it's really beautiful back there. Done some walking back there. There's like a 30-foot waterfall back behind there if you go back enough.
At one point along the drive, Colt points out one of his favorite spots along the river, or was when he was a kid.
This is where everybody fishes. mainly because it's deep and there's good access to the river, and nobody's there. And that cross you seen, that actually somebody was murdered there a couple years ago. Yeah. Came to a gruesome demise, probably drug related, to be honest.
We drive a little more through washed out parts of the road until we park at one of Colt's favorite swimming holes. A giant oak tree hangs over us as we stand on a narrow beach beside the Green River. Two kayakers paddle by.
Pretty good. Oh yeah.
Colt says everything changed in this community about 10 years ago when drugs like prescription pills and then meth and heroin started becoming more common.
On a normal day, on a completely normal day here, there's somebody in their car up there doing some drugs. There's like three people rolling a joint or a blunt down here. It's a normal day.
Colt remembers parties on the weekend here when he was in high school. But he also remembers when families would come here to swim together, something he hasn't seen in years.
You know, it used to be more beach, so there'd be more people basking in the sun, and the kids could play in the rapids that there used to be, and the rope swing was really deep, so it was pretty safe, honestly. And you can still go on the rope swing, but it's not as deep as it used to be where they made the breaks. This rope swing, so many people have gotten hurt because they put a rock shelf there. If you don't swing out just enough, you'll hurt yourself. And this tree that there's a rope swing, believe it or not, I've actually seen people climb to the top of it and jump out into the water. There's this one guy who's notorious for doing it. He's done it over 30, 40 times. Just climb to the top of that tree and jump from a 30, 40 foot drop.
We stand beside the river and talk for maybe 20 minutes. I get the sense that Colt is basically a normal teenager. He grew up in a place just like lots of places that have changed.
And it's almost scary to see that change, to see what I feel is the drug epidemic changing the nature of the people to what they are today. And how it used to just not be like that. You know, the worst thing you'd ever hear about is maybe marijuana and some drinking. And now it's like your cousin Tommy's a meth head and your brother lives up cliffside and is in a heroin den or something.
After we get back into his geotracker, we drive past small homes, dog kennels, and chicken coops. Colt doesn't slow down as we pass his mom's house. He keeps his eyes on the road.
This is where I grew up. There used to be a trailer there, but we tore it down because of flood damage, and that's my mother's house. But I'm not welcome there anymore.
Colt and his mom haven't been getting along for years. But things came to a head when he stopped by her house for a visit a few days before this interview. They got into an explosive argument over money, he says. She wanted him to pay the taxes on a property she'd given him next door. He said he didn't want the property. It floods all the time. For years, Colt says his mom has repeatedly tried to get money from him. This time, he told her no.
My mom told me to leave. And she said, are you going to pay the taxes? And I said, well, I was probably not going to. And she got upset and started yelling and cussing and breaking stuff and asked me to leave.
Colt tells me his mom has struggled with drug addiction since he was a little kid. Later, I ask his mom if this is true. She says addiction is something from her past. It's how she dealt with abuse she's experienced from men in her life. As for this fight over money, she says she was angry that Colt wouldn't help pay the taxes, but that she didn't throw him out of the house. Colt moved out of his mom's house 2 years ago, just 4 days before his 18th birthday. He doesn't look sad when he talks about it. He's angry.
But there's nothing for me at that house, and it's nothing but bad memories anyway, mainly.
We turn around. And this time, he does slow down as we pass his mom's house again. There's a nativity scene, surrounded by blooming flowers.
Despite everything, she always had a green thumb, and I think that's somewhat where I got my green thumb. It's from my mother. Like, anything she would plant, she's planted a little bit of everything. Flowers and crops and stuff like that. And everything I've ever seen her plant has grown. With almost no maintenance. Strange.
That green thumb that Colt inherited from his mom, he says it's what's keeping him here in West Virginia, because he's in a training program that's teaching him agriculture and helping him go to college. But will farming pay the bills after his 2 years in the program are up? And in the meantime, how is he going to juggle a full-time job, school, and the stress of his turbulent relationship with his mother? Because things do change between them over the next year. Well, kind of. More on that next time. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Roxy Todd in Lincoln County, West Virginia.
We'll experience more of Colt's journey next week here on Inside Appalachia. On our website, wvpublic.org, you can see photos of Colt and learn more about all of the six people we'll be following for the Struggle to Stay series.